Okay, this is the Prime Spot Radio Show, and my name is Carrie. This is Cal State Long Beach's kbeach.org, and I've got two wonderful guests tonight in the studio with Flood. What is your name?
Marco Schindelman.
And
Frauke van der Horst.
Great. Now, thank you so much for coming in. Tell us a little bit about Flood, your organization.
We are about a handful of people, artists. Marco and I are academics, I should think. I teach at Otis art history. Marco teaches voice. He is at Redlands University. I'm with, as I said, Otis Art and Design. And we have Kamran, who is sort of the creative genius of the group and who had actually some art history, art training at Long Beach State.
Yeah, Cal State Long Beach.
At Cal State Long Beach.
Kamran Asadi, is that
Kamran
how you say that?
Kamran Asadi.
Mm-hmm. I know him from Utopia Restaurant, so I'm familiar with some of these faces.
Right, and I know him from the 1970s when he did actions and during the first Gulf War. I just kind of remember a piece that he did then. And so we got back a long way. And so he came and looked me up sometime and said, I am planning to do something with Doug Hart in downtown. And
what year was that? That was a few years ago, because Doug's now in New York, I think.
Doug
right?
is in New York, and that was 2002, I think. And out of that came what we called reception, perception, deception, in what became later the bookstore open. And that was a performance piece of artist reception. The art was a happening, an installation, but we had seven theater lights shining shaped light onto the walls, and we had labels with it, and we had made Doug Hart the artist, and so that was our first sort of performance piece that we had.
So that was the one where it was almost like the artist, but there was no one there, or it was
a little bit the Emperor's New Clothes, but it was art historically. We talk about the White Cube, the museum, as or the White Gallery space as a guide to seeing, and it makes sort of precious objects out of whatever is in the gallery, including the urinal by Duchamp, and in this case, we just took the White Cube and performed the White Cube and made the audience participants in the piece, because they came and they looked at the place. We had an audio tour for 20 minutes on the pieces that weren't there.
Now, the name Flood, where does that come from?
That was initially the name we wanted for the first piece, and we just kind of transferred that to the group and made a new title for the show.
Great. Now, Marco, you're a part of Soundwalk. Mm-hmm. I actually, here's a picture. I brought in my copy of the District Weekly. I was actually at the Carpenter Performing Arts Center for the Schooled in Song concert, and I was there during this photo shoot, so it's really, it means something to me when I see, I mean, I was there when this exact shot was taken. Shea Gowers from Open, the bookstore book/music/art, and Cameron and Shelley and both of you. Now, tell us a little bit about you, Marco, and what inspired you to become part of this group.
As said, I'm in charge of the opera program at the University of Redlands. I'm also involved with the new music ensemble there. And my training is originally as an opera singer, and I worked as a professional opera singer in Munich. However, at the same time, My day job was as an opera singer. At the same time, I then did several underground performance art pieces, a lot of process pieces, pieces that maybe took up to 2 years for them to complete. One piece in particular dealing with dying people. So all the people on stage were actually people who were in the midst of dying, terminal patients. So that by the end of the two-year process, they were there. And there was a strong sound element to that, in that I would record certain monologues and then play them backwards, and then the artist had to be able to recite them backwards. And then during the course of the performance, they were then recorded. And then once they died, we played the recording backwards so that the audience could then hear what was actually said, but always after, you know, post-mortem, more or less post-mortem.
Wow.
And so I was involved with a lot of pieces along those lines. And then at some point I retired, and I spent about 10 years dealing in sound, music, working as a composer, and then I got a position in academia. And I participated, as was said, in Soundwalk, and then Frauke invited me to join Flood, of course, with the consent of the others.
Talk about the actual Soundwalk event that is happening in downtown Long Beach.
Now, this is our fourth year of organizing the Soundwalk, and we invite artists to install their pieces in a four-block radius, and we sent out a call for submissions, and they sent it in, and we take them around on a walk, and they look at the neighborhood, and they kind of make choices, and we arrange, we tweak it so that it all works out. And each year it has a totally different character because of the different artists that bring in their work, and each year there is as much surprise for us to encounter the sound that actually comes out of the pieces that we envision. We have pieces in the gallery in the at Coos on Broadway. We have a piece in the bicycle store, and Marco is playing on the background here.
Great.
One of the pieces from last year, and this year we will have submissions by artists who want to perform on the street. So there is going to be a lot of interaction with the audience in the streets as people walk about and find the different installations.
I want to give the website for people that, you know, this is heard around the world. By the way, I have to thank Long Beach Community Television for also for broadcasting this over Charter Cable TV channels 65, 69, and 95. If you're local and you're listening over kbeach.org, go ahead and save the bandwidth and flip on the TV so people around the world can hear this. Soundwalk.org is the actual URL for people to look into this more.
Right, and on the website we have sound samples, we have photographs of pieces from the last three sound walks of the events, and we have photographs of the neighborhood so that you can see it with the neighborhood, and then you can see the pieces, and you can hear some of the sound that came out of those installations. And there's also a map that will guide you to the next one on Saturday the 22nd. And on the hub is Linden and Broadway.
Broadway and Linden, just remember,
right.
Broad Lind Hotel.
Right, and for those who are coming on the freeway, it's really easy. You take the 405 to Long Beach, and then you take the 710 to Long Beach, and you get out on Broadway, and you just drive Broadway until you get to past Long Beach Boulevard, and then you look for parking. That would be the best bet. Mm-hmm. And then you just walk around south on Broadway between Elm, Linden, to First Street, and all the way down to Ocean Boulevard. Now, Marco will have one piece on Ocean Boulevard. We have a piece that as Flood.
Okay.
And it's similar to Reception, Perception, Deception. If I were to really tell you what it is, it wouldn't have the effect.
Okay.
But for those who are there, they will kind of notice it.
Mm-hmm.
We were inspired by a German playwright, Handke, and the name of his play was Publikumsbeschimpfung, which means an insult of the public, and we're taking that and tweaking that into something totally different.
Marco, can you talk about your piece, or will that give that away?
No, I can talk about it. It's called Veil, a Polymphony, and it's a study of the veil within various contexts. The original inspiration was a photograph of my grandfather doing the dance of the seven veils from Salome.
How many artists are going to be a part of this?
Approximately 60 artists.
60?
Wow. Involved. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, would you say that these are people that already had pieces and they found a place to perform it? Or did they actually go and, like you said, they walked around the neighborhood and they were inspired by that and then went and made a piece specifically?
It's a combination of both. We have certain pieces. We always request that people
submit
previous pieces or examples of previous work. And if we find something that we really like, we may say, would you mind doing this work again? And also then people visit the sites. If they've already participated in Soundwalk, they'll frequently ask for a specific site because they have a project
idea
in mind, mm-hmm, for it.
Now, is the Lafayette Hotel going to be open, mm-hmm, like it was?
The Dome Room.
The Dome Room.
And
great.
The space that was the old open space,
mm-hmm,
that'll be also open as well. And, I mean, we have to thank the community. Because, in effect, for instance, the Cooper Arms is contributing a large space, their Grand Salon, the Lafayette is contributing a couple of spaces. So we have a case here of people not only opening their businesses, which is also the case, but in effect opening their homes up, because they make themselves, in a way, vulnerable to the public, because suddenly now the public and auditors are visiting what I regard as my home. I live in the Cooper Arms, so I feel very protective of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very thankful, because that's a very important form of patronage.
I was asked, you know, is Soundwalk happening? And, you know, like a month or two, all of a sudden you say flood. I mean, it's a flood of media exposure. Here's the District Weekly. I think the other day Gregory Moore was doing a piece for,
exactly,
what, the Grunion Gazette. What other media has...
Well, we're speaking to Lynn Heffley. I know she's putting a piece together. She's with the Los Angeles Times. So there's all sorts of stuff going on right now. Also within the academic community, I know, for instance, the University of Redlands, where I teach a particular class called Ear Cleaning, run by a professor who is a protege of R. Murray Schafer, who is, one could say, the Canadian John Cage, and coined the term Soundwalk, actually. He's the man who invented the term and coined it. She has her class actually participating in one of the flood pieces, so the word has gone out in the university. There will be a bus of approximately 50 people attending a composition class, and so there are various little networks sort of making their way out there.
That's excellent. And
yeah,
one year I bought the CD with the matching book. Are you going to have that available?
You could probably answer that better. Yeah. No, the form this year, because last year we decided to go with a flash file. Oh, I'm too close. No. Okay. We decided to go with a flash file,
mm-hmm,
of the catalog, decided to go high tech rather than going with hard copy. And this year, as I understand, it'll be a DVD, in which, in effect, you'll have a catalog on the DVD, and then you can press next to the artist's picture underneath the artist's bio, a button, more or less, you know,
excellent,
a virtual
high
button.
Tech.
Yeah, and then hear the actual piece.
And then you also, I read about, there's going to be something where you can subscribe or give your cell phone. You'll be,
mm-hmm,
tell us about that.
Oh, Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a particular piece. If you go on the website, it says participate in an installation. And in that piece, you'll call a certain number, and you'll be given something to say, and that'll then be disseminated. You can read about it. It's under participation in an installation. And
okay, so I saw that on the website then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Do you want to try and play a little bit more?
Sure.
Maybe put the microphone down to the CD and...
Now, this one is called Audible Traffic.
Now, that is really, the piece is interesting in as much as this is recorded a sound from a Danish parking garage mixed with a parking garage in Long Beach. That was what hotel?
Marriott.
The Marriott Hotel parking garage. So that you had sort of a virtual presence of Danish traffic mingling with the sounds of the garage in Long Beach.
And I was hearing that, and I was thinking that could be anywhere. It's funny,
right,
you've got the two
right
different locations.
And this particular structure is actually a well-known structure, and it was a study in spatiality as well, sort of taking the internal space of that structure and then suddenly superimposing it within our structure and then combining the two, and in effect creating a spatial harmony, if you will. So it was an interesting piece.
Now, you know, you gave some background on Cameron. Now, I know Shelley Rugthorpe. She was a major force in the East Village. She still is, whether or not she's down there all the time. But she was actually, you know, part of the association and the Second Saturday Art Walks. She really brought a lot of attention to that area. And she also teaches, doesn't she? And she's into, is it not fabric, textile art?
Also performative art as well. She sings.
Right.
And she's right now in the midst of a project with, I'll be collaborating with her, creating experimental multimedia opera using the developmentally disabled as performers and the collaborators in the creative process as well.
Wow.
So she's busy. Yeah, she's busy.
Amazing. I remember when she was involved with the
10 by 10?
University of Illegal, or it was a Museum of Illegal Art. And 10 by 10, yeah, she's all over the art map. And she went to school here as well, I believe.
Cal State
Long Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Shay Gower, I know him. Him and he and Say Reed with Open Bookstore,
right.
great place. They just moved from the East Village to over there, like 4th and Juanapera. What is his background?
Sound engineering. Sound engineering.
And
then he moved into the creation of soundscapes. And artistically, as far as his aesthetic, he's a quietist. And if you know Shay, one can understand that he's a very calm, quiet, serene human being. And he collaborates with Scott Peterson. The name of their group is Smug Sap. And
SMGSAP.
It's actually their initials. Shay M. Gower and Scott A. Peterson.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I remember Say Reed. I was saying, how do I remember each unit? Because they're co-owners of Open. And she's like, just remember, I like to talk, that's Say. And he's quiet. Just think, Shay. And it was real easy to remember. I'll never forget that very creative way. So that's really neat. You're shining the light on the East Village. I call it working with sound, sound experiments, soundscapes, just really different than any other event in Long Beach that I'm aware of. You also have other events that are leading up to Soundwalk. Why don't you give us a little insight to them? Some of them have passed and some are coming up.
Yeah. Shay is very much involved with that. That's more or less his area of expertise. I would like to draw up the thing right now, but my computer's stuck and not cooperating. But for 3 Saturdays now leading up, last week we had Noah Thomas performing, Albert Ortega. And these are performance pieces that don't necessarily operate as well as sound installations. With regard to sound art, there's so many different applications of sound art and manifestations of sound art. You may have sound art which can run on for days. Philip Stern is doing a piece, it's actually right now at Viento y Agua, that morphs over the course of 7 days. So that's one way of doing sound art. Then you may have sound art that has more performative element, is also something akin to Fluxus events, in which you may take an insignificant phenomena and then put put total focus on it and magnify it. And frequently for some of these performance events, those are much more effective. we also then, during the course of Sound Walk itself, in the Dome Room, there will be several performative pieces occurring consecutively, and at one point they'll probably all be collaborating as well. So yeah, Shay's in charge of that. It's really within his area of expertise because he's always putting on various programs over at Open. So it's in a way sort of the Sound Walk extension of that as well.
Great. For those of you that have just tuned in, this is the Prime Spot Radio Show on Cal State Long Beach's kbeach.org. And if you live in Long Beach or Signal Hill, go ahead and turn on Long Beach Community Television channels 65, 69, and 95. Thanks to Judy Baker and Doug Wood, who are actually recording this on a DVD for our listening pleasure at a later time. September 22nd, again, soundwalk.org. You said it started in 2002, was the very first?
2004, if I remember correctly.
This is the fourth year. And
okay.
So
2003, 4, 5, 6.
Are there more participants every year? Does it grow? Word gets out and people go to the event and they go home and share it?
Well,
or is it about the same?
I think there's a lot of anticipation these days. A lot of people have been to one, have heard about it, regret that they missed it and don't want to miss it this time, and they return, and because it's something so totally different, and it's what I would call art without attitude. Mm-hmm. Because you can stroll about and you can just sort of stop to listen in, to enjoy, and there is, unlike at a museum, no performance kind of etiquette. You're taking a walk. And like, these are absolutely wonderful sort of late summer nights in Long Beach. And so it's absolutely comfortable and stress-free. The judgment on sound art, well, it's a new medium. It's experimental art. There are any kind of examination of sound in art works from the very low tech to the really very sophisticated computer programs that sort of make things like the panorama, or the, 2 years ago, Nina Weissman's piece that had five computer stations in a display. To last year, the woman who did the eggshells on the sidewalk.
Betsy Lohr.
Who crashed sidewalks in a Morse code on the sidewalk.
In Morse code, the different names of God throughout the world.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It
so
was
different. Wow. Yeah.
It was fantastic. But
and she's very well known as well.
Right.
Yeah,
she was fabulous. But there is everything in between. I mean, this is the very low tech to really absolutely sophisticated equipment and the latest in technology. And then everything in between. You know, and so it really is, because it's such a wide range, it is sort of a discovery and something very exciting for us as well. And I'm really looking forward to it this year. Yes.
And it promotes a democratization of listening, where you don't really, where listening is not necessarily hierarchical in nature, because frequently we have music, which is somehow for a long time was regarded as occupying a higher plane than just normal sound. And with sound art, what came was this concept of, for instance, a sound walk. You walk through a soundscape, you find the keynotes, which may be the sounds that are very typical of that area, let's say traffic, and then you have certain sounds which then jut out or stick out, and you make note of those, and then you have what are called sound marks, which may be sounds that are help identify a specific location. Let's say, for instance, Big Ben over in London. When you hear that, you know you're in London. And what a sound walk does is sort of play with that, either take it and bring take sort of the soundscape of the area and bring it to a new level, or interpret it in some way, aestheticize it in some way, or do they simply superimpose another layer of sound, and in fact creating a temporary sound mark, which identifies, okay, we're now at Soundwalk, we're in Long Beach, California. And so it eliminates this hierarchical attitude towards listening, that somehow if you're listening to music, you're doing something superior. So, and it also makes one aware of poetic perception, if you will, that you're sitting down and you appreciate sound for what it is. Really, when you listen to traffic, if you don't know it's traffic, it's something very similar to the ocean and can be very soothing and very comforting. I frequently speak to people in my building and they'll complain about the traffic noise. And I said, but if you really pay attention and ignore the fact, the fact that it is traffic, it sounds like the ocean, and it's sort of akin to white noise and very lulling and very soothing. And frequently they say, oh, I didn't realize that. So it's this poetic use of listening, or poetic application.
What is the background of some of these artists? I mean, are they all highly educated, or there's no,
it's all over the place, and especially sound art is an interdisciplinary form. It is different from music in that it does not occur in the concert hall, but rather frequently it started in art galleries and other venues. And as a result, you'll have artists who maybe started as painters, sculptors, or as musicians, and then moved into sound art. So, and some are highly educated. You have people like Philip Stearns, who's a graduate of Cal Arts. And so it runs the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively, it's very easy for municipalities or institutions to go with the flow of the mainstream. But this is really a case where they're supporting a group of artists who are trying to swim upstream, because sound art is a fairly, I don't want to say it's necessarily a new art form, but it's an art form that's starting to come into its own, especially with this sudden sort of blossoming of technology. To a certain extent, it is, let's say, in a lot of bumper tracks or soundtracks. But to divorce the context and then suddenly put sound art within, let's say, a museum space or a gallery, that's still fairly new for people. People haven't yet approached sound art as being painting or sculpture or cinema for the ears.
So you have such beautiful descriptions of this event and sound in general. It's really unique. I've never had a show like this before. So.
Well, it's interesting because sound is constantly evolving at this point. There was a point in the beginning, sound came from a specific source. You always associated sound with its source. And then slowly but surely that moved away. There's the term, which I used the other night, that Schaefer uses, schizophrenia. Where suddenly with technology, this the point of origin, or the producer or source of the sound, is no longer associated with the sound. Nowadays, when we hear a voice, it doesn't necessarily come from a person. It might come from a CD or from a speaker, or from a movie screen. It's still from a speaker, but cell phone. Yeah, exactly. And so there's this movement where sound no longer is associated with a particular source. Then you have acousmatics, and then certain types of acousmatic sound where you no longer can identify the sound. It's no longer the sound of a violin. It may be the sound of a violin that's tweaked to the point where it's no longer recognizable, and you now have to sit and just enjoy that sound without knowing what it is. The equivalent of abstract art, mm-hmm. if you will, abstract visual art.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you so much. Do you happen to have a list of
I can run through a list and, locations. Sometimes locations change. So,
That'd be great.
If certain business owners suddenly go, what? We didn't know about this. Don't worry. I mean, we're still in negotiation with various people, but this is a fairly accurate list.
So there will be a map that you can pick up where, at Coos or a bunch of different locations?
Yes, at Coos. We're hoping eventually to get a map on the website itself so people can print it out and then take it with them to the event.
Mm-hmm. And this is, you are listening to Flood, and this is the upcoming event on Saturday, September 22nd. You said the evening. Now, what hours?
5 to 10.
Okay. 5 to 10, 5 hours
yeah.
right.
of pure sound.
Then, you know, some of the artists who will be performing at Soundwalk on First Street will be Yolanda Vieira. We're going to have the Bicycle Bell Ensemble. That's a group of cyclists who play bicycle bells. That'll be a roaming piece. We have several roaming pieces this year, which is interesting. I think probably is the result of some of these artists having come to the Soundwalk event and realizing, oh, it might be easier. I may not be able to get this particular space, but why not just then use the whole area and then create a roaming or roving piece? You'll have Ali Boglum, Mike Chang. They'll be at the Flower Shop entrance nook on First and Linden. Andrew Buxbarg and Charlie Hoyt. Andrew Buxbarg is coming from Indiana University. He's faculty there. He also has a roaming piece. Madeline Byrne, Ellen Weller, and Randy Hoffman will be performing at Raimundo's on Linden. Manlihir Carcano will be in the Dome Room at the Lafayette. That'll be an event performance. As I said, we're going to have several consecutive events occurring at the Lafayette in the Dome Room. Miha Siglar is an artist from Slovenia. He will also be performing at the Dome Room. Daniel Corral will be presenting a piece or exhibiting a piece in the kitchen of the Lafayette, which is a great space. I love that space. Christian Cruz will be in the Planter Nook over at Applebee's, at the Applebee Realty, right? Is that or
right,
the office
on Linden
there?
Boulevard.
On Linden. Philip Curtis is... that's a pre-event performance. That was at the Broadland Cafe. Then Frederick DeWilt will... He does interesting art with electric eels. And so we have a listening and viewing room where we can watch DVDs or listen to CDs of various artists from out of the country. He's a Belgian artist, very interesting artist. And we have planned, we're planning on setting up a few U-Hauls and turning them into listening rooms. So that should be interesting. That'll be an interesting space in which to perform. Braden Diote will be at Coos. Aaron Drake is in the Grand Prix office on First Street there. David Drodge will be at La Muse Garden on Ocean Boulevard. His piece is a piece that deals with fairy sounds and such. So, if you will, it's an oceanic piece. It's perfect for Ocean Boulevard. And Charles Orwin will be his piece will be in the Bougainvillea at Utopia on First Street. Ethereum will be at Good Vibes Cafe. As said, Fleur will be doing a roaming piece. You'll find out what that's all about ultimately. Fluorescent Gray, Dome Room Lafayette, also event performance. Then on the corner of Linden and Ocean will be a piece by Lindsay Foster, more or less a listening room, a soundproof room with a mirror, a two-way mirror. And so as night turns into day, you'll be able to either look out or people from outside will be able to look in. So that'll be an interesting piece. Jeff Hoy and Gordon Winyemko are doing a roaming piece. Luis Garcia and Matt Bridges are doing an interesting piece by the law offices. It's the sound of a panhandler or somebody begging. Mm. And so in front of a law office, it's
very interesting. Oh, he caught me out there on the street and recorded me, did he?
Josh Goldman will be in the listening room. Girl Charlie, Monica Ryan, back room of Coos on Broadway. Caden Lee Harding in the bike shop across the street from Coos on Broadway. Autumn Hayes will also be in Coos. Kate Henningsen and Nicole C. Russell are doing that participatory piece that if you go to the website, you'll be able to participate. There's another piece by Jan Novak, which you can download and then carry that piece with you as you go on the sound walk. John Cannenberg is also in the listening room. Lewis Keller will be in the old open space on Linden. David Kendall, Cement Records Lobby on Linden. Marklin Strauss, Unit E on Linden. That's a space that's farther back. It's by 117?
Yeah. 117 Linden.
Yeah. And very, so if you go to that corridor to the end room there, that's Unit E. Mm-hmm. That'll be a sound seance. Mm. Midnight Gardeners, Dome Room of Lafayette. Jim McCauley will be on the Art Park stage. Thomas Anthony McDermott will be on the Art Park stage. Mm-hmm. Mullum. The group I'm also associated with will be in the Grand Salon at the Cooper Arms on Ocean Boulevard.
Don't miss it. That's going to be very involved.
I hope so. Yeah, it has a strong performative element as well. Jan Novak and Gretchen Bennett. I had just alluded to that. That's a, if you will, a pseudo roaming piece in which you can go to the website under participatory pieces and download something and then carry it with you and listen to it as you're going through Soundwalk. James and Orscher, Coos on Broadway. Adam Overton, Coos Stage on Broadway. That should be interesting. Really, what's going on? Coos will ultimately end up being something akin to event because there are so many different types of pieces occurring simultaneously. So we'll have almost the one has the sense of a spectacle occurring because you'll have a performative piece, you'll have a video piece, you'll have a sound sculpture, a three-dimensional sound piece. Then Kevin Paul, also Listening Room, Doug Pearsall will be in front of Village Treasures on the sidewalk on Broadway and Linden. Fog Machine will be on the C1D roof. That's the gallery above Utopia on Linden and First. Joseph Potts roaming. Sabina Pinkapunk, who's also a good friend of Frauke's, will have a piece on the sidewalk in front of McCracken Visions on Linden. Gary Raymond will be on Linden and First by the Marriott sidewalk. Then Redux, Best Western, empty storefront on Linden. We have some empty storefronts in the Best Western Hotel there. R232, Best Western as well. Aaron Scott in the Bike Shop on Broadway. Surreal Estate will also be doing an improvisatory roaming piece. Don Schoen will be in Coos. Then Tom Skelly and Mark Takeuchi, Best Western Nook on Linden. Tom Sky, McCracken Visions inside the gallery on Linden. Then Smug Sap in the Old Open window display. Philip Stearns, the Old Open at Linden. And then he'll also be doing a roaming piece. Then Robert Strong in the back room of the kitchen of the Lafayette. Hans Tommen, New York artist, listening and viewing space. As said, Noah Thomas right now has an exhibit over at Viento y Agua. And Nina Weissman will be in the C1D gallery on First and Linden, a very pure, simple, but in the best sense of the word. It's a very nice piece. Sandra Wolf has a roaming piece. And then Carrie Urey, Lindsay Leung-Kohl and Maria Alford will be on in the tree on Broadway and Elm. And that's...
It sounds like you could really miss some of these pieces if you don't have the Soundwalk map. I'm so impressed. I mean, the Bike Shop, you're getting these businesses involved that aren't usually open.
Two ideas. To me, that's Long Beach at its best. Mm-hmm. The Nina Weissman piece is an upstairs piece. The C1D gallery is not really easily recognizable. Mm-hmm. Seek it out. It really is. She does such absolutely amazing work.
Yeah, it's right there next to the Village Grind Utopia.
And Utopia. It's that little entrance you have to go up the stairs.
That's Enrique Chu's gallery.
And it's
right,
a beautiful gallery right there.
Interesting, apropos of the whole idea of people meeting in Soundwalk, several Soundwalk artists asked if there was some way we could eventually create a bulletin board so that people who participate in Soundwalk could get in touch with one another and then eventually collaborate with one another. So that's hopefully one of the steps that we're going to take over the course of the next year, that these artists are then able to stay in touch with each other. So they don't only just come back once a year like migratory animals and then disperse, but continue a relationship and a collaborative relationship and really contribute to a movement, if you will, within Long Beach and within Southern California that is very specific to this area. Because really, through this sort of cross-pollination among artists, then eventually you might find a common thread, a common aesthetic, and then that has an impact on the world at large.
This has been such an excellent show. I want to remind people, soundwalk.org, that's a website you definitely want to check out before you, in the next week or two, before September 20, well, exactly 1 week from tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So you have 7 days to delve into that, because it's really interesting. Also, pick up the District Weekly, I think it's page 12. There's an article, a picture of our two guests, Marco and Frauke. And also, what, the Grunion Gazette, did that article come out? Or it's probably going to
sure,
come out this week. Yeah,
it appears.
And just, you know, put in soundwalk.org on the web. You'll see all the different online entities that have been promoting it as well.
And what we have on the website this year, too, is all the bios and artist statements as relating to the pieces themselves. So people can actually go now to the website and do some prep work, if you will. Read about bios and installations. There will be pictures and the artist bios as well as explanations with regard to their pieces if you do want to go that route.
Come and discover.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right. This is the Prime Spot Radio Show, and check out theprimespot.com. myspace.com/TPS radio. That's a listing of artists you can usually request on the Prime Spot. I usually play music of bands with upcoming gigs in the 562. And of course, soundwalk.org. Put September 22nd on your calendar from 5 to 10 p.m. And we'll see you there.